channel 145. Amen. It's just 24 hours, all of his messages from the 50s all the way through, you know, the late 90s. And Ruthie, you know, he's talking about the power of the cross, this one message, and gave an illustration that someone was going to pay, give him $100,000. You know, who would turn down $100,000, right? That would take care of all your needs and so on and so forth. But yet people turn down Christ every day. And it's like, what? And so Ruthie and I were talking. We said, Ruthie, you know, our own brothers and sisters have turned down this free gift of salvation. And Ruthie just said, man, we're just going to keep praying for him. You know, keep praying for him. Right, Ruth? Amen. Amen. And I appreciate, as we were in worship tonight, and Pastor, they gave that call for a healing touch. All of a sudden, I just felt Ruth's hand on my back. And yeah, so Ruth's a special gal, man. Amen. You're a blessing, Ruth. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how many brought your Bibles tonight? Let's do like Billy Graham does. Hold your Bibles up, man. Oh, look at the thousands of Bibles. Yeah. Awesome. That's cool. Man, we do have a lot of people bringing your Bibles. That's good. And then, you know what? That's why I appreciate about our pastor that, you know, a man of the word, and you know, lots of people are messed up because there's a famine of the word in their life. A famine, you know. And you can't live this Christian life on other people's experiences. You got to have that, your own personal relationship with the Lord. If you have your Bibles, we're gonna kind of recap a little bit. Last week we're talking about praying out God's will. So 1 John chapter 5, 1 John the 5th chapter, and we'll eventually get there. And if we don't get done tonight, that's okay. Well, and as you're turning, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we just again surrender our lives, our hearts, and our minds to you once again, God. And Father, may the truth of your word permeate our minds and our spirit tonight, God, to bring forth transformation, to bring forth fruit in our lives, fruit that would remain, as Jesus said, and that, Lord, you would deposit something in us tonight, whether it's for us personally or perhaps for someone else in our life, God. We know that you want to speak to us. So, Father, speak to us through your word tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You know, Pastor Tommy and I were talking earlier today, and, you know, I asked this question maybe, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. How many really want revival? You know, how many really want revival? Let's just see a show of hands. Want revival. Now, so we don't, you know, whatever that looks like, Lord, have your way. I've learned this personally, and it's not a popular message, but we'll see it in Scripture here, that there's a redemptive quality that God wants to use in the arena of pain. There's a redemptive quality to pain. Most of us want to run from it. Right now, I want to run from it. You know, my flesh does. Because the reality is, pain is a part of life, and it's a part of ministry. How many are ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about a pastor, or but you're a minister. If you're born again, you know, blood-soaked, on-fire believer, you're a minister of the gospel. And so there's something that God does. And I remembered who it was. It was Pastor Paul Bershey said this recently. Paul and his wife Carolyn, I think, are 82, I think now. You know, 60-some years married in ministry. And he told me, he said, Mark, I don't know of any man or woman of God that's passionate about seeing his kingdom come that isn't going through some kind of pain in their life. And part of that is, I shared this with Pastor Tommy today, I'm like, God, do a cleansing in my life. Whatever needs to be done, God, break it off, break it out of my life. Because I don't know, I'm probably like you guys, I want to be used up before I go to heaven.
Yeah.
I want God to use me up.
Amen.
However you want that to be, wherever, whenever. You know, we got to have the military mindset of however, whenever, wherever you call us, God, use me, send me. Right? Isaiah 6, send me, Lord. And that might be with Hugs Ministry. It might be in the nursery. It might be as a prayer warrior. I forget who it was. Oh, it was Grace. Grace. We were talking the other day. And Grace, you know, I was just sharing with him. Man, and we are so blessed. And Pastor Tommy, you know this, but we're blessed as a church. There's none of us that are perfect. Even Pastor Tommy and I, we're goofy sometimes, man. And Lynn's back there going, amen. I heard what he did to her flowers the other day. I won't tell you, but he did something to her flowers. They weren't as pretty as they looked until he, well, whatever. So, well, then I told my story when Jill, this earlier on, when we first got married, man, she'd put stuff out in the backyard. I'd be at work, whatever. And I'd come home after a long day, grass need cutting, and I love to keep everything high and tight, so I'd take that weed whacker and whack everything down. I didn't realize I was whacking down her flowers, man. You know? I was just like, and she's like, what are you doing? So, there's redemptive quality in pain, you know? Amen. So let's talk about this, kind of hitchhike a little bit what we talked about last week about praying out God's will. What I love about being here and all of you that are serving is we understand God's word is true.
Yeah.
And sometimes we understand this too. We don't see the manifestation of it yet in areas of our life. And I remember it was Pastor Ron Bergio in New York when we were just, and he's had some physical problems. He just retired from his church as the pastor of over 35, 40 years. He's traveling around the world now speaking on healing. God's gifted him healing, but he's had some real physical problems. But you know, he's still here. He's still being used of God. And so many of us, we don't see that manifestation right away. And so he spoke this word of us, over us. He said, I've learned to say this, that I am healed, I'm being healed, and I will be healed in Jesus' name. You know, there's a process. Sometimes God moves in divinely and bam, you know, all of a sudden. And I've had that happen with my back occasionally. All of a sudden, man, I feel great. What happened? Lord, I had that happen with my heart attack, you know. Bam, all of a sudden now, God used the doctor, but still, it was like day and night. I was in excruciating pain. The next moment, I can breathe and no pain whatsoever. I felt like going to the gym, you know. So you know, we got to stay in the Word, right? Because we're learning. Everybody say, we are learning. We never come to that point where we've got it all down, okay? Because he has begun a good work in us, Greg. We'll continue it, brother, till the day of Jesus Christ. So we're learning that God wants to do his thing through us, but sometimes, and I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight, sometimes it requires a word that begins with P, and we'll talk about that later. But 1 John chapter 5, and begin just kind of highlight verse 4. John writes, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Do I have any overcomers in here tonight?
Yeah.
We're born of God. I have two people that are overcomers. 3, 4. Do I see 5? 5, 6. Yes, we're overcomers. Am I a little bit too loud? Can you turn me down just a little bit, brother? I feel like I'm too loud. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It's our faith that overcomes the world. Amen? He says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I love what Jesus said in John 16 and 33. And for those that are taking notes tonight, I'll try to slow down a little bit. Typically, I like to have notes, but I just haven't had time to get them all together. But John 16, 33, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." So if He lives in us, we're overcomers. Right? That's something to be excited about. That's something to rejoice about, even in the midst of pain, discouragement, and bad news. We're still overcomers. Now, I'm preaching to myself. Maybe, I don't know if it's happening with you, but I know that I am an overcomer. In verse 14 of 1 John, he says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." Now, excuse me. This only applies to those who know God, who have a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, you're born again. And that happens two simple ways. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. And that's really the way that God does things for us. We have to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, regardless if we see the manifestation of it or not. Are you hearing me tonight? We have to, you know, that's, we have to stand on the Word of God. Paul said in Ephesians 6, "When you've done all that you can do, stand." And so God wants us to know Him intimately. And then Paul said in Philippians 3, if you want to turn there with me, Philippians, the third chapter. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture that Paul speaks in Philippians 3, verse 10, "that I may know Him." Kristen right now is preaching on knowing Christ right now. She's with the young people. She's talking about, how, because I didn't know this, but what is it this week? Celebrate Pride. Anybody hear that? Yeah. I didn't. But, you know, the homosexual community is just out there this week celebrating Pride. And, you know, and that is permeating our young people, whether it's college campuses, high schools, and even junior highs, and even elementary schools, you know. This stuff's out there. And, you know, the message is, hey, it's okay. And so we find that a lot of Christians are confused about God's will. And here's the simple answer to that is you don't know God's Word. So if you don't know God's Word, how do we know what to pray? How do we know? And so Paul says here in Philippians 3, in verse 10, he says, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death." And so to pray God's will, we got to know God's Word. Okay, we talked about that last week. Jeremiah 1:12, God says, "I watch over My Word to perform it." I watch over it. He's listening. Okay, that's why we need to get in the habit of not just reading and studying the Word, but as we're reading, we're speaking the Word out loud. If I'm in my devotion time, I'm reading those Scriptures out loud so that my spirit man can hear, so that my mind can hear. I'm renewing my mind with the Word of God, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay, so that I can be conformed. I can think like Him, talk like Him, and it's like, we've talked about this before, it's like being saturated. You know, we should be like our spirit man, and our mind needs to be like a sponge, just soaking in. And that's why I'm appreciating right now, I don't know how long, I think it's on for the rest of the month, the Billy Graham channel, because I love that. I just, man, listening and then thinking back and listening. You know, there's nothing new. Two things have not changed in the world. Two things. God's Word never changes. Jesus said, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." Hebrews 13, 8. And then man has not changed. Man is still, Jeremiah 17 says that the heart of man is still desperately wicked. The only thing that may have changed in the age that we're living in now is that it's in your face now 24/7 because of all the technology. Okay? But man pretty much is still the same. But God's word's the same too. He doesn't change. And so if we're going to go to God on purpose in prayer, shouldn't we go in faith, believing that we're going to receive, right? And the only way that that can be done with assurance is to pray according to God's will, which is His Word. Which is His Word. Many times when we're here for intercessory prayer, we're walking around or maybe you're sitting and I'm just praying the Word. I'm speaking the Word, speaking life over situations, speaking life over my family. When Pastor Tommy calls out, let's pray for, man, I'm saying now is the day of salvation over my brother Greg and his wife. Now is the time, you know. God wishes none to perish, Greg. I say that, you know. None to perish, Carol, you know. I'm just speaking, why? Because that's God's will. God's will is God's word. I want you to go with me to John the 15th chapter. John chapter 15, we touched on some of these scriptures last week, but I want to zero in on just one for a moment here. John chapter 15 in verse 4. Do I sound loud to you guys? It's like, am I hearing myself in the monitors up here or something? I don't know. That's okay. If it's not bothering, if I get too loud, just do one of these. Shh. Yeah. So, all right. John 15, Jesus said, verse 4, abide in me. Abide in me. We're going to talk about that for a second here. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We can't do anything without Christ unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. How many want to bear fruit for the kingdom? Yeah. Amen. Y'all do. Praise God. Verse 7. Jesus said, we're talking about praying out God's will. Jesus said, in verse 7, if you abide in me, in my words, abide in you. See, that's why there are a lot of Christians that are confused today, because they don't read this. They may as well just, when they're walking around, and all of us can, has anybody here been confused before? How many know, like, you know it's God's will to heal, but maybe you're dealing with an infirmity, but so your mind plays with you. It vacillates back and forth. And let's not be so hard on ourselves. We are not God. Okay? We are human beings. We're not human doings. We're not robots, right? So God understands the way our mind races back and forth. Do I believe? Don't I believe? You know, yes, I do. Yes, what am I saying? You know, have you ever had those conversations with yourself? Right? Sure, we do. So the only way to combat that is to saturate. It's like pull a B-52 carpet bombing on your brain, right, with the Word of God. And so a lot of Christians, they're confused about God's will. So they may as well just walk around with a big sandwich board on them saying, I do not read my Bible. In total confusion. And I got to be honest with you, that's probably where a large portion of the body of Christ is today. A large portion. So Jesus said, I mean, this you could just study on for hours and go, oh gosh, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, you remember last week, we're not talking about this genie in a bottle relationship with God. You know, we rub the bottle and poof, God shows up and grants us. God doesn't work that way. God's not Mickey D's, McDonald's, okay? One of the things that I'm learning in my life as I go through things, we all go through them, we all go through different stages in our life, okay, is that God is more concerned about my character than anything else. And sometimes he delays his answers because he's wanting to teach me something. He's wanting to show me. Now, let's please understand, God is not a God that hands out sickness and disease. Okay? We live in a fallen world. And it's a result of sin. True? Right? But we overcome. I like Pastor Tommy talks about, read the end of the Bible. We win. We win. Right? We overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so Jesus said, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So when you're determined to stand in faith, the world is going to lose its control over us. Are you hearing me? But we got to be in the Word of God. And so two of the biggest roadblocks that stop the will of God for our lives, folks, is real simple. It's our mind and our mouth. Our mind and our mouth. Jesus talked about that. He said, for whatever is in the heart of man, he speaks. Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we do have to put a guard. Psalm 141 verse 3 says, put a guard over my mouth and at the door of my lips. God, put this guard. And boy, It's can it be real? It's not easy to do. That's why we need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and be able to pray in other tongues, because there's times that we just don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit helps us and he helps get this thing squared away. Someone say amen.
Amen.
So faith-filled prayers know two things. Number one, we know that God hears us when we pray according to his word, which is his will. And number two, we know that God answers us in the way he wants, not the way we want. And boy, that takes living that crucified life, that surrendered life. Lord, however, what is it, God, that you want to do? What are you speaking to me? Lord, I want it to happen this way, but not my will, but yours be done. Follow the example of Jesus whenever you're in doubt. Someone say amen. But it's a fight, is it? It's a fight. But Paul, it's a good fight, though. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, that we're to fight the good fight of faith. Okay? And listen, it's God's will that his word be spoken. But we've got to speak it, we've got to pray it in faith, believing. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Paul said in Romans 4:17 that faith calls those things. Remember last week we talked about don't let go of the faith rope? And sometimes we shipwreck our faith by just giving up. No, we got to hang because faith calls those things that be not as though they were. Okay, and so that's why Paul was able to say boldly in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, he said, for all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. All the promises of God. I'm going to stand on the promises of God, whether I can see them or not. Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
We have to remind ourselves of these things. And the reason why so many Christians don't see God's will played out or perfected in their lives is simply because they shipwreck their faith by losing patience. They doubt and they don't believe. And I'm going to read it out of Luke. If you want to turn to Luke 18, Jesus gives a great example about not giving up. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't give up. Don't give up. Whatever you do, don't give up. Listen, that's why, brothers, we need each other. Sisters, you need each other, okay? Because none of us have been called to walk this life alone. And that's why I need my brother in my life. You know, he needs me. We need each other, okay? Because sometimes our flesh is weak, and we need someone, and God, through the Holy Spirit, will send someone along to encourage us, to pray for us, to lift us up. Don't worry, buddy. I'm not going to beat on you tonight. Amen. You're just thinking, oh, my gosh, here he comes again. But in Luke 18, listen to this. I'm going to read out of the New Living because I want to read these side notes to you. It's just so awesome. It says here in Luke 18:1, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Are you hearing that tonight? Yeah. Always pray and never give up. Our flesh wants to just sit down sometimes and have a pity party. Yeah. And folks, listen. It's okay. God understands, but don't give up. Yeah. The Bible says, I don't know where it's at, somewhere in the Old Testament. Righteous man falls down, but he gets back up seven times. Right? He'll get back up. And that's why we need sometimes another brother to help me back up. I appreciate praying for me. Okay? Appreciate Pastor Tommy praying for me. And he appreciates your prayers. Are you hearing me tonight? So he says right here, one day, this feels pretty good right now. Amen. Maybe I'll just sit here, Pastor Tommy. Yeah. It says here, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, and he said, who said he neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. And the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people. But this woman is driving me crazy. This is what my Bible says right here. This woman's driving me crazy. Yeah. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. Wow. That's awesome. Jesus is teaching us something. Don't give up. Don't quit. There's no quit. You know, it's embarrassing to quit in the Navy SEALs. I don't know if you've ever seen, but they call it Hell Week, the BUDS training. And it is 7 days, 24/7. They get a total of 45 minutes of sleep a day. Okay? It is brutal. And the washout rate is like nearly 80%. But when you quit, you got to go to the front of the class outside, take your helmet off, set it down, and stand and ring the bell. Guys that quit just can't take it anymore. They can't take the sleep deprivation. They can't take the pounding heat. They can't take the ice-cold ocean that they go into. They can't take coming out of the ocean, rolling around in the sand, and then lifting up those 200-pound, or they might even be more than that, their boats on their shoulders and carrying them through, you know, 12 inches of sand for a mile, you know, and then doing the five-mile swim out into the ocean where there's sharks and all that stuff. They can't, and so they quit, they bail out. They can't take the going in a pool there's the surface up there, right? Their hands and their feet are tied behind their back, and they have to stay in there for over 5 minutes, pushing themselves, swimming to the top, and they have to understand what it is to really be in treacherous situations. And these guys bail out all the time. But Jesus is saying, I've sent you somebody who's going to help you. He's the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so my notes say here, I love this. It says to persist in prayer and not give up does not mean endless repetition or painfully long prayer sessions. Constant prayer means keeping our requests continually before God as we live our lives for Him day by day, believing that He is going to answer. Okay? When we live by faith, we are not to give up. God may delay answering, but this delay always has good reasons. As we persist in prayer, we grow in character, in faith, and hope. We grow. You see, it has to do with patience. Okay? James 1:4 says, "But let patience have its perfect work in you." Perfect work. You think about patience. Noah, how long did he take to build the boat? 120 years, right? Joseph, in prison for nearly 20 years, right? You think about guys that have had patience, right? And so James is saying, let patience have its perfect work in you. And to complete you, lacking nothing, all right? So many people don't see the immediate results and then they just bail out. They give up. They let go. They let go of the faith rope. And it starts here, but then it comes out here. And we got to put a guard over our mouths. I'm speaking to myself right now. Jesus said, I said this in Matthew 12, 34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And I want you to, I wrote this down. It says this, "Much of faith requires His timing, our waiting, His doing, and our patience." I'm going to say that again. Much of faith, when we're praying in faith, believing, requires His timing. See, we don't know what's up ahead. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what's down the road. There's many times that Jill and I have prayed for things and we didn't see it happen. And, you know, after a while we go, man, I'm glad that didn't happen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Man, I'm glad I wasn't there. Yeah. Lord spared us from that. Yeah. And so we surrender to it. But I'll say it again. Much of faith requires His timing, our waiting, His doing, and then our patience. And I love what David wrote here in Psalm 37, verse 3. He said, "Trust in the Lord and do good." In other words, trust God, but just keep on marching. Isn't that what you appreciate about our pastor? You know, you just trust God, but we're just going to keep on going. Now, there's time for rests, okay? Many times I find, and you can even know that, either physically, mentally, or emotionally, wow, I'm just feeling drained. Hey, maybe God's saying slow down. Maybe God's saying rest, okay? There's, you know, it's not a bad word. There's something to be said about Sabbath rest, okay? But, so he says here, "Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and feed on His faithfulness. Delight," verse 4 of Psalm 37, "delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Now, those desires have to line up with His word, which is His will. He said in verse 5, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." He'll bring it to pass. Not Mark bring it to pass, but He shall bring it to pass. Okay? Verse 7, he says, "Rest in the Lord." Ooh, wait patiently for Him. Wait patiently. Okay, boy, we hate that word, wait. God, we want it now. But God says, no, wait. Verse 34 of Psalm 37 says this, "Wait on the Lord and keep His way." Man, I love that. "And He shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it." And so God's wanting to do something. We talked about it last week. Don't let go of the faith rope. Romans chapter 4, we're talking about praying God's will and being persistent in it. Romans, the fourth chapter, Paul paints a beautiful picture of the story of Abraham and Sarah here in Romans chapter 4, verse 19, talking about Abraham. It says, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. Think about that. God promised him that he was going to be the father of many nations, and now here he is, years have gone by, and he's 100 years old. He's still waiting, but he's waiting in faith. He's trusting God. So he's 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. She's about 90 years old, and he did not waver. We're going to talk about that in a second. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness." He kept the promise before him. He didn't let go. He hung on. He kept believing God. He kept speaking God's word. He kept hanging on to that faith rope. Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. I'll wait for you to get there because I want to show you something. James 1, verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." You know, God doesn't mind if we ask him. "Anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him." Verse 6, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting." Okay, now, some of us, those doubts come to our mind. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay, I believe what this is saying is, don't let those doubts come out of your mouth, and here's why. "For he who doubts is like the waves of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." Unstable. And it says here in my notes, a double-minded man is a person drawn in two opposite directions. Ouch. He says here, "His allegiance is divided, and because of his lack of sincerity, he vacillates between belief and disbelief, sometimes thinking that God will help him, and at other times giving up all hope in him. Such a person is unstable in all of his ways, not only in his prayer life. The lack of consistency in his exercise of faith betrays his general character." And so God is wanting to grow us in his word. I shared with you, I believe it was last week when Jill was here, you know, because I'm struggling with some things just, you know, internally and stuff. And I appreciate my wife so much. I do. Jill, she is a rock. All the stuff she's been through, she's like, God's going to take care of it. You know, it's like, I'm like, man. You know, but you know what? In part, it's because of her childhood. Her parents were, they weren't worriers. You know, the opposite with my childhood. I mean, you know, we lived in a crystal palace and, you know, all this stuff, and it's like you're always second-guessing yourself, you know. And it's so that's why I need to saturate myself with the Word of God to cleanse all that old man out of me. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Okay. And so Abraham, though, he was speaking and believing God's Word. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, he said this, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I speak. We also believe, therefore we speak." And Paul's saying, man, we gotta speak what we believe. What are you believing in today? What are you believing for today? Speak it out in Jesus' name, even when you don't see the manifestation of it. God, my back is healed in Jesus' name. My heart is clear in Jesus' name. This aneurysm's going to go in Jesus' name. All those things. My vision is coming back in Jesus' name. And so we got to continue to speak. We believe, therefore we speak. So there's certain conditions, though, that you and I have to come into agreement with, to be in alignment with, to certain switches that need to be flipped on. And I want to give you four of those tonight as we get ready to wrap up, okay? You see, true prayer isn't trying to manipulate or persuade God to see things our way, but true prayer is founded upon coming into agreement with God's word, which is His will, right? And so in order for us to continue to pray out God's will for whatever circumstance that you might be facing, there's four things I want to give you tonight. Number one, and I've already kind of shared this a little bit, but number one, you need to abide in Christ and His word must abide in you. Abide in Christ and His word must abide in you. And I appreciate today at prayer, I love what Grace prayed today, Psalm 91. I'm going to go there. If you want to go there with me, I know this is what Pastor Tommy and Lynn are standing on, Psalm 91. Let this just soak in. I love it. Talking about abiding, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. There it is. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. I'm going to say this. I can't, you know, I appreciate Jill praying for me, but I'm the one that's got to say it. I'm the one that's got to believe it. I'm the one. I know she's praying with me, but I'm the one. I will say of the Lord that He is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Are you hearing that? And we don't have time to go through the whole psalm, but that's a great psalm to be praying over you. I love verse 14. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. I'm declaring long life for me. Long life for Pastor Tommy. Long life for you. We have to declare that and speak that over our children, over our grandchildren. Number two, we're going to pray out God's will. We have to have faith and trust in God's word, not in this thing, this mushmelon right here. Not in our brain, not in our mind. We've got to trust God in His word. I love, do you know the middle chapter and middle verse of the Bible is Psalm 118:8, and here's what it says. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Middle chapter, middle verse, right smack dab. Trust God, not this thing here, right? And he goes on, he says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Trust God. So we got to have faith in God's word, not in our flesh and not in our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. All right? And then number three, this is critical. You don't hear a lot of this. And again, that's why I appreciate here at Lighthouse. You know, I'm not saying we're any better than anybody else. Please hear me. But, you know, when you have a chance to visit a couple times and you go like, man, what are you guys talking about here, man? I don't even hear the Bible, right? But listen, you don't hear too much of this today. Live righteous. Live a righteous, holy life. Not saying perfect life. None of us are perfect. But purpose in your heart, purpose in your mind to live a righteous life, to be just, to be fair, and to walk with integrity. Okay? And then number four, have a thankful heart. Yes. Be thankful. You know, Paul said in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Yes. And again, I say rejoice. And, you know, he's writing this in prison. Be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, I think it's verse 18, says, in everything, give, not for everything. I certainly wasn't thanking God for my heart attack. You know, I knew that was an attack from the devil. But in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In everything. Lord, we're in a tough situation right now, God, but I just thank you, for you are with me. You said in your word, God, that you'd never leave me or forsake me. I know that's your will, because it's in your word. And so I just want to encourage you tonight, my friends, continue, regardless if you see it or not. Stand in faith. Don't give up. Don't let go of that faith rope, man. Keep declaring. Keep speaking over your life, the word of God, over your marriage, over your home, over your children, your grandchildren, over your physical body, over your finances. Keep declaring. Keep speaking God's word. And I'm going to tell you, if nothing else, man, you're going to have the peace of God just cover you. Amen? Amen. Pastor, do you want to close in prayer for us tonight, brother? Thank you, sir.
Good word tonight, amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you.
Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, your provision is great.
Yes, God.
Your love, Lord Jesus, is so bountiful. But where can we go from your presence? Lord Jesus, fulfill your word tonight. Lord, let us walk in it, Lord. When we have a battle in the mind or in our emotions, Lord, we can put that aside and trust your word. The Father, you've given us the keys to the kingdom. Lord, help us to put it into practice. Lord, forgive our unbelief. How many ever struggle with unbelief? Father, forgive those areas, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we grow in that grace and knowledge of your dear Son, help us. Lord, with every infirmity, every weakness, Lord, we know that, Lord, your power can come upon and we can be strong. Father, your blessing on this congregation. Lord, go with them in grace and mercy, your peace to be upon. Meet every need in each home in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, bring us back on that appropriate day, Lord God. Lifted up, encouraged, and strengthened, because you are Lord. Father, we pray for our families. We speak salvation over each one. Lord, each one coming to know you, Lord Jesus. Lord, grant it, Lord God, a mighty harvest. We speak revival to the land. We speak revival into our families. Lord God, perform your word. Lord, you're not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Father, for the Hugs outreach this weekend, Lord God, draw people in, Lord. Hold away the rain. That, Lord, people can be touched and saved and delivered. We speak that victory even now, Lord God. We love you, Lord Jesus. And you're number one in our lives. Can I get an amen? And, Lord, help us to love people like we love you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God